Hey, everybody, coming at you for a quick announcement. We wanted to share some good news that hopefully you've seen already around, but we have a Dune TV show coming out.
Well, not us, but there is a Dune TV show coming out.
The Royal We. yes, Dune Prophecy is getting closer. The release date is set for sometime in November, and we are encroaching upon that date. So we are excited to announce that we are going to be extending our coverage to that TV show.
Yep. We're not going to be doing it like our regular podcast where we're going minute by minute because we want to maintain some degree of sanity throughout all of this. But we will be doing an episode of the Dune Minute podcast or special episodes of the Dune Minute podcast in conjunction with the episodes coming out each week.
Yep.
We don't quite know yet what day we're going to be releasing those podcasts, but we will be blasting our socials and everything with more information as they're coming out. So keep an eye on your feeds because coming up, you might be getting two episodes on one day a week.
That's right. Just what the people want. More,
more
of us.
Dune.
All right, cool. We'll see y'all later.
Yep. See ya.
Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back. We are talking about minutes 112 through 113. And we finally, I say finally as if it's been looming over us for a long time, but finally are talking about what that big gun is. We get to see it in action.
The big laser gun.
Yeah, yeah. So starting off with this, just right out of the gate, we're picking up in the thick of the action. We left off last minute with the Sardaukar stepping over the motionless body of Duncan Idaho laying on the ground. And we start this one with the person carrying the big gun just starting to fire it. I mean, it's already powered up and it's just like start shooting it. And this thing is so cool.
Yeah.
We've seen laser guns in action before. We saw it with Duncan Idaho flying the ornithopter. We saw it at the early minutes in the movie, but we've never seen it like this up close. And we've also only seen them being shot from like ships in orbit kind of thing.
No, we saw
the ones at the beginning were handheld too.
Yeah, but those were more like a sniper rather than a
I thought the. Well, and we'll talk a little bit more about the kind of what's going on with Jessica and Paul in them in a second. But I thought the depiction of the beam of this laser gun was super cool.
Yeah, just that super thin.
So fine. Mm-hmm. It is exactly what you'd see is if you had one of those little handheld laser pointers for classroom or cat toys or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got several of them here for the cats.
Yeah. But like if you were to shine one of those through smoke or fog or whatever. So any kind of like, thick gas, I guess. It's just that very fine, thin beam.
It's the opposite of like a laser that you would find from like a Star Wars blaster or a lightsaber where it's like almost like a fatter.
Yeah. I mean, even they in the Star Wars, don't they call those like laser bolts almost? Or there's something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So yeah, those are like really, really thick boys, thick boy lasers. These are very tiny, very cute.
It's almost surgical.
Yeah, very cutesy lasers over here.
But it might be cutesy. It's not.
No.
It's not weak. It just cuts through that door, that metal door.
Just nothing.
No effort at all. And it almost fucks up Paul and Jessica and like clips their ankles and shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we see it like penetrate the door and then cut back to the other Paul and Jessica's side. We see them just start booking it.
Yeah.
You jump over the laser and everything to avoid, getting cut and everything. Well,
Paul almost gets got as he's going around the corner, like out of this hallway. I thought that he got hit. Mm-hmm. Even after watching it a few times, like it looks almost like he gets hit.
It's real close.
Yeah.
And then we just see it completely eviscerate the rock walls as, mm-hmm. Paul and Kynes and Jessica are kind of peering around the corner, it eviscerates the rock wall, like right in front of Kynes' face and everything.
Yeah.
I think it's worth noting that the exit door is across.
Yeah. I was about to say that.
This circular room.
Yeah.
And this laser is in the way, and it's not like they can just be like, oh, it's low, so we can just jump over. It's moving.
Yeah. Cause the Sardaukar are trying to cut a hole in this door so they can get through.
Yep.
If you've ever seen, Star Wars Phantom Menace, episode one, this is exactly what Liam Neeson's character Qui-Gon Jinn is doing in the blast door there.
Yep.
Just cutting a hole in the door.
Thanks for stealing another idea, fucking George. except the only difference is that this version in Dune is significantly less racist.
That's true. Significantly less. also, this is okay. Well, I love shitting on what Star Wars has stolen from Dune.
Yes,
this is maybe an example of the opposite.
This is not in the book.
This is not in the book at all. So this is not stealing from source material. But yeah, very similar scenes from both. we cut back to the Sardaukar on the other side of the door. And what happens, John?
Fucking from the ashes, Duncan Idaho. He's not done. This is, I talked about WWE SummerSlam yesterday. Fucking Duncan's not done, baby.
That is literally
he might have been thrown off the top rope, but
that is an entire bullet point. I said, he ain't done yet.
I ain't hear no bell.
We don't hear sounds from Duncan at this point. Like we're getting dramatic music.
No, he gets up silently.
Yeah. And even it's out of focus, like he's out of focus in the shot. But we see him pull the sword
out of him, and he doesn't say anything or yell or anything as he's pulling the sword out.
Mm.
He doesn't yell until he's got the sword in his hand.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to get this for the thumbnail because it's such a good shot of just like the shield is still red around Duncan, and it's red around his head and everything as he's just like yelling, and he cuts down two more Sardaukar.
Yeah.
And just kills the shit out of them.
Well, thankfully, they are like, they're shocked. They actually get surprised.
Yeah, they think he's dead.
Yeah. And he just uses that moment that they're in shock and like going, what the fuck is happening, to just murk two more. Yeah.
And knowingly, maybe, I don't know. We don't know what's going on inside Duncan's head, but he does, this moment ends up saving Paul and Jessica and Dr. Kynes because it stops the laser gun.
Mm-hmm.
On the inside of the door, we see Jessica, Kynes, and Paul see the laser stop, and they immediately just book it across the room. Yeah. There's no hesitation.
There's a little bit. Kynes has to be like, go, 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 kind of thing. But
sure, but they're just like, fucking book it. Like this is our moment. Unfortunately, we're down to 3-1 situation. 3v1 situation, and Duncan is not doing well. The remaining three Sardaukar do cut Duncan Idaho down. Yep. Final score 12-1, Duncan Idaho.
That's right. Yeah. Damn.
Pour right. one out for the homie.
And the movie does an interesting thing here where it telegraphs that yes, this is it.
Yeah.
For him. I mean, we get the very traditional trope of falling down, eyes open. No motion from the person, but we also get his shield flickers off at this point. So I thought that was an interesting way of saying he's done.
Now he's actually,
compared to the last time that he fell over where his shield was still active. So, I don't have any information on shields being tied to the
vital signs or whatever. Yeah,
vitals of whoever's wearing them. But I think it was a good choice by the movie to convey this is it for Duncan.
Yeah. But is or it? Is it?
But is it?
Spoilers. There's thousands more of Duncan.
Everyone should read further into this series. This might be the end of this Duncan Idaho, but it is certainly not the end of Duncan Idaho as a character. So that's all.
We'll just say Jason Momoa does not have to worry about work.
Yeah, no, he's got plenty of work ahead of him if they keep this going.
Though recently, so kind of dating ourselves, you know, in terms of when we're recording this, but there was a recent interview that I sent you.
I haven't watched it yet, but
where Denis Villeneuve was talking about how he doesn't necessarily see Messiah as a trilogy movie. Because part one and part two are technically
one book,
one story. And that he doesn't see himself doing anything beyond Messiah, but he and, you know, Legendary and Warner Brothers kind of are leaving the remaining books open to other directors' interpretations, which I think
good. That's
sure. That's going to be big shoes to fill.
It is.
But it does make me wonder, like, okay, if they do adapt live action, do they bring Jason Momoa? Like, is Jason Momoa going to be willing to come back to work and act in a movie for anyone other than Denis Villeneuve? Because, like, Zendaya had gone ahead and said that she was really only interested in doing Messiah because Denis Villeneuve was directing it.
Gotcha. Okay. I don't know. That's going to be interesting. Yeah. I wouldn't want them to recast.
I think God Emperor and honestly, like, everything else would be better suited in like a animated format.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree.
You and I have talked about this off podcast, but like it would probably be better as a series too, rather than a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, personally, my opinion is take a page out of the Sci-Fi Channel and do a miniseries that covers each book, you know, afterward. I mean,
cause if you made a movie out of God Emperor, it would just be Leto the Second lamenting for 2 hours.
Yeah.
It would just be so boring.
There's other things that like kind of take the stage from Leto in those later books. But I fully agree that they are better suited for like a
adult either an animation. Animated series or like a mini series TV.
Yeah. I agree with the animation part of it. I would want to see it like a dark, like anime style.
I know video games aren't your thing.
Mm-hmm.
But on Netflix, you should give Arcane a try.
Okay.
You don't need to know shit about video games.
What related. Universe is this in?
It's pulled from the League of Legends universe, but it has nothing to do with like. There's no story to League, right? It's, but it uses like characters from that universe.
Okay,
it's fantastic animation and everything.
Right. I'll give it a shot.
It's one of Calf's favorite series and the
past guest of the show, Calf.
Past friend of the show, Calf. It's fantastic. But like that animation style is super cool and super unique.
Yeah.
Plus, so like there's only two seasons for the show. The second season's coming out in November, I think, and that's like the last of it and it's done kind of thing. So it's a 20 episode start to end kind of situation.
Okay.
But like I would love that animation style. Like if that studio could do some Dune shit, holy fuck.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I imagine it would be cool. I have not seen this show, but you're making it sound good. So
it's very good.
Yeah. So I would hope that in some form or fashion, Jason Momoa would be still attached to this character.
Even if it's just like voice acting or whatever.
That would still be great. But for any kind of live action stuff, I mean, I think that it'd come down to is the price right? You know, and what's
is the price right and what's the director's vision?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. What's the vision here? Because these are all very and I don't say this in a bad way, these are all very proud actors. Like they yeah. attach themselves to things that are going to be good.
Well, I don't know. Did you see that fucking Minecraft movie trailer with Jason Momoa in it?
Oh God.
Oh
no.
Dude, it's so bad.
Is that the Jack Black Minecraft? Yeah. Oh yeah. No.
It's so bad.
Okay. Well, I spoke too soon.
It looks so awful.
Anyways, but, all right. Well, back to this movie. So Duncan is down, and this Duncan is dead.
Yeah. Pour one out.
Yeah, pour one out for Duncan number one.
We'll see him later. We'll see many of him later.
So we cut back to the passageway, Jessica, Paul, and Kynes are running down this passageway.
It's super cool because they've got those like tunnels of light every 15, 20 feet or whatever.
So I was looking at these things and I was like, these are really cool. Like clearly they're meant to convey like skylights.
Yeah.
But we don't really know how far underground they are at this point. They could be right at the surface. They could be, you know, a lot of rock above them. But it made me start thinking about this thing. And this is getting into home improvement territory right now. When my parents were redoing their back patio,
yeah,
they eventually settled on just like some very traditional skylights.
Yeah.
But one thing that they were worried about is that the roof on the back patio was going to block out sunlight that was coming into the rooms behind the patio.
Okay.
So there were some existing like external walls there that got some good light, but when they were building the patio out, the roof was going to block that light.
Roof would block it.
Yeah, the patio roof would block the light. So we looked into just for a hot second this like contraption that is like an artificial skylight.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a tube that you put into your attic that goes to your roof, and it's got a system of mirrors that redirect the sunlight down to whatever room you want to have.
I don't think there's a system of mirrors in the side of this
I don't
of
think
this
so
mountain.
Either.
No.
But
I think it's a straight cut down. And I think it's twofold. One, it's light. Two, it's ventilation.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But with the thought of we don't know how far they are down here, it's not out of the question that there's a way to redirect light to provide some kind of lighting, you know, deep inside the caves.
Sure.
It's very intense light that is coming down. So I think you're right.
I'm going to hit you with a counterpoint too.
Okay.
You're redirecting light like that through mirrors. You're also redirecting heat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fair.
If it's a straight up and down, you at least have an easier way for the heat to escape.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. It was a comparison that popped in my mind. And I was like, that'd be really cool if there's just a system of tubes and mirrors above this. So we get them running down this hallway. Our lovely djembes are back with the tense music.
Yep.
We see them run up to a fork in the tunnel here. They got the Fremkits sitting beside the tunnel.
Yeah, we do get a short, like, half second close up of the these Fremkits on the wall.
Yep. And Kynes says, follow the light.
And that's where I'm going to end.
It ends right there. Yep.
Before we go into what I'm sure you have for book comparisons for today's episode, I have beef with this scene.
Go on.
The running through the tunnels to me looked like a run very quickly nowhere kind of run that they were doing.
Are you talking like the actors runs?
Yeah.
Ah.
Where it looked like they were like running very quickly, but they were also doing like the super exaggerated, like higher step kind of thing.
Yeah, that is very common in movies.
No, I know.
Because you can never, like, the sets aren't big enough to get into a full-on sprint.
I understand this. It's just, once again, one of those things that when you're watching this and you're rewinding 5 seconds to, like, get these details and stuff, you notice. And I just thought it was very Scooby-Doo and very funny.
There's only one actor who does it reliably, a full-on sprint when he runs in movies.
And that is?
Tom Cruise.
He does his own stunts.
He does his own stunts, and he specifies, or I've heard a story about this, I don't know for firsthand, but that whenever he is in an action movie that requires running, he is full-on sprinting. Helps that he's like, what, 5'5", something?
I want to say he's like 5'6", 5'7".
Okay, something like that.
He's not tall.
He's a shorter man, but he is always sprinting, and he's always doing his own stunts.
Yeah. He's always breaking his ankle on the side of a building.
Right.
Have you seen – you saw that Mission Impossible? When it, so they kept the shot of the
movie. I've never seen any of those movies.
Oh, really? Like, actually?
Seriously, no, never seen a single one.
Dude.
I know they're good. Yeah. I've just never seen them. Yeah.
Anyways, he does this one scene in one of the most recent ones where he like jumps between two buildings, right? And he doesn't quite make the jump. And one of his feet like falls too short and like kind of goes against the wall like this. And then like it kind of just like...
Ooh, like his foot breaks up on the...
Yeah.
Ooh, oof.
He breaks his foot doing it, but like they still kept it in the movie and everything. But it was Jesus. Like, God damn, dude. Like all the shit that he's done, like...
Yeah.
It's shocking that he hasn't killed himself yet.
I've heard someone say this about Tom Cruise, and you know
that he's fucking crazy.
Well, I was about to say, like, talk about his personal beliefs all you want. I do not agree with his personal beliefs. I think he's an insane person. As an actor, he is a great actor.
Sure.
And someone once said about him, like, if he didn't go into acting, he would have been the best stuntman that's ever worked in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can.
So anyways, it's not a Tom Cruise show, but props where props are due, I guess.
Surprise. Tom Cruise is Leto second.
He became a worm for the movie. He actually became a worm.
All right. He lived 5,000 years.
You want some book notes?
Book notes time.
All right, cool. So first off, Leia's gun, not used in the books. If we remember from maybe a week or two ago, we were talking about when Duncan and Kynes just picked up Jessica and Paul in the desert as they're heading to the ecological testing station.
Yeah. During their nighttime flight.
Yeah. Duncan had set a trap for the Harkonnen patrols, which was a massive shield hidden underneath the sand or like in a cavern or something. Yeah,
buddy. So they would just fucking nuke it.
Yeah. So they were like cutting things up.
The laser gun, and then it would turn into a nuke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were cutting things up with the laser gun. It hit it. Atomic blast ensued. So at this point, the Harkonnens are super wary about using laser guns anymore, which was the goal of the stunt that, or the trap that Duncan had set.
Sure.
And they make it a point. Kynes makes it a point to say earlier that the doors that they were shutting behind Duncan would hold against anything short of a laser gun. So at least that's consistent from book to movie.
Okay. Yep.
But then Paul turns around and says, they're not going to be using laser guns anymore. They don't want to risk, you know, hitting a shield. So laser gun's not a part of this. So that's like the only discrepancy that I see from the book scene to the movie scene that, okay, so far. We still get the same like hidey hole that they run through.
Yeah.
We still get some the lights are mentioned in the books, but the lights that guide the path are a little bit different. And I think they're a little bit cooler in the books than we see.
Are they more like emergency lighting, like down at the foot?
Not really. So I think this was a tunnel that was used for escaping. So with the Fremen ingenuity, what they did was they had arrows, you know, or like guiding signs that were on the walls.
Yeah.
That lit up as you approached them, and as you went past, they disappeared again.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it was like that, from what we gather, they're like one-time use things. So the person coming after you would not see the arrows.
That's all right. That's really cool.
Yeah. So they said, you know, Kynes makes it a point to say, like, follow the arrows. As you pass, they'll disappear, and we won't know which way you went.
Yeah.
Anyone
follow? I'm sure, like, in the book, too, it's also probably built like a labyrinth or whatever, not just like a direct tunnel out.
We, at least not at this point, we've heard as much, but it's just a really cool, like, piece of tech that they explain in the books that would have been really neat to see on screen.
Yeah.
That would have taken more time to explain than we get right here, because in the movie, the stakes are much, much higher at this moment. Since they're not using laser guns, the Sardaukar that are in the books, it taking some time to get through these big doors.
Yeah.
So they're not under as much of a time crunch as in the movie. Cool. So that's one thing that I wanted to bring up. The other thing does not come from Dune. This is the passage that I pulled from Children of Dune.
Okay.
This is coming from Stilgar as one of his reports on what has happened in this attack. So it's like a recollection of the events that we're seeing on screen right now.
Okay.
From way later in the timeline. And he's actually speaking to the Lansdrad Commission right here. So he says, and I quote, "The Sardaukar who'd slain him report his prowess." And he's talking about Duncan Idaho at this point. 19 of their number were dispatched by Idaho before he'd fallen. So we count 12 on screen in the movie.
But Duncan really just went off in the books.
Yeah. So the number that we get from the books is 19 Sardaukar before they got Duncan killed, which is crazy.
Sheesh.
So if there was ever any doubt of Duncan being one of the best fighters in the Imperium, let that doubt slip from your mind. Yeah. This is just confirmation of that. And I don't know. It makes a lot more sense that when Piter brought up the Duncan and Gurney to the Sardaukar on Seleucus Secundus, then
that's why. Second Salsa.
Yeah, thank you. That's why they kind of acted in such a visceral way, you know, when they heard that name. So I think this is one of the moments where the actions live up to the legend.
Sure. Damn, 19-1.
Yeah. Pour one out. Pour one out for Duncan. He was a real one.
We'll see him later.
We'll see you later. All right. Speaking of seeing you later, I think that'll do it for this episode. And we will be back tomorrow.
Yeah. As always, you can find us online. We are at the Dune Minute on Instagram, at Dune Minute on Twitter, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com. Don't forget to also rate, comment, and share the episode or the whole show back with other people. And we'll be back with a Thursday episode for you tomorrow.
All right, cool. See you then.
See you later.